Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Kara Garrity and Christiana Dole.
Christiana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Kara. You know, thanks so much for having me as a co-host. I'm excited to be here and to share this time with you guys.
Yes, we're excited to have you. And in today's episode, we will be talking with Pastor Aaron and Love Avenue champion Joshua Ko of GCI Crossway in Philippines about building a Love Avenue team. So, you know, what is something that is important to you when serving on a team, Christiana?
I think there are two things that really come to mind for me. I would say good communication and then having a shared collaborative spirit. I think communication shapes the direction of the team, and it reveals the areas of strength and interest for each team member. So then sharing a desire to collaborate and work together is what then helps to define how you move forward and face challenges. And that builds off of the communication you have with, you know, your team members.
Yes, that is excellent. I agree that those are two really important things for a team to be building. So before we listen to the interview, I do want to take a moment to define a term that we use in the Love Avenue. It's called a person of peace, and this term will come up during the interview. Christiana, would you give us a brief explanation of what a person of peace is?
Of course. So a person of peace is defined as someone who belongs to the community and expresses the character, lifestyle, and subculture of the community. A person of peace is someone who can be your guide as you get to know the community that's in your neighborhood. And through building a transformational relationship of trust, you can join in and participate in the neighborhood with them.
Thank you so much for defining that for us, Christiana. Let's go ahead and listen to what Pastor Aaron and Josh have to share about building a Love Avenue team. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Kara Garrity, and today I am blessed to interview Aaron Tolentino and Joshua Ko. Aaron is pastor of GCI Crossway in Pasig City, Philippines, and Joshua is the Love Avenue champion of GCI Crossway. Pastor Aaron and Joshua, thank you so much for joining us on the pod. We'll be discussing today the building of Love Avenue team. So thank you so much for joining us. Before we jump on in, I'd love to know from both of you, what is a spiritual practice that has been formational for you recently?
My name is Aaron. I'm a pastor from GCI Pasig in the Philippines. Good question, Kara. For me, since the pandemic, I would say it has been an awesome experience to do more prayer, especially in the context of the community, the faith community. It's interesting that at the time of the pandemic, where we could not meet face-to-face in person through the worship services, we were able to take advantage of the online meetings, the video conferences, and that grew from, you know, meeting regularly for our connect groups and even for our prayer meetings. And so that has been a tremendous blessing in recent, you know, months and even in the last year or so, you know, just to be able to pray together with the church members and to hear the concerns and being able to share, to play share with them. And it has become a ministry for even those people outside the faith community. We would hear prayer requests shared to us, and we'd pray with them, and we get some updates. We hear how God would bless and answer the prayers, and we'd be able to hear the, you know, what people are going through. So for me, that has been, you know, such a spike for me with regards to spiritual practice, especially in this time of a pandemic.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. And Joshua, what about you?
For me, spiritual practice, also during this pandemic, I think for me, mostly because we're just at home, everything that I do here, for example, I'm working or maybe cooking, even taking a shower, I always have something to listen to. Either it's a worship song or a sermon. I it just makes it much more wonderful. Whatever you're doing and you're hearing Jesus, you're hearing our triune God being preached, it makes everything nicer and enjoyable to do. So for me, that's been my spiritual practice recently.
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you both so much for sharing. And, you know, why don't we just jump right in and talk about what building a Love Avenue team has looked like for you in GCI Crossway. And so can you describe your process for building the local Love Avenue team?
Wow, good question, Kara. I guess I could answer this. It was, I think, in 2020, and I had a class under Dr. Randy Bloom for field education. And for that class, we were required to come up with a ministry project that we would work on during the term. And I used that class, that project, as a prompt to look at our situation as a local church and, you know, trying to sense where we are in the journey of the vision of healthy church and what will be the next best step for us. And I thought that was the next best thing for us. And that's what I did. That's what I proposed to the class. I came up with a ministry action plan, as we were required to do. And I presented the plan to the leadership team. If this is something that we feel as a group, was God leading us to do, to participate in. So that's basically the birth of that. Practically, I didn't want to do, you know, ministry project aside from what is already happening in the local church. So, you know, I wanted to do a ministry project that's already aligned with what's happening in our local church. So, you know, that's part of my sort of my thought process. And so with that, I would say I would break down the process into three phases. The first one was the grouping stage. It's part where, you know, I shared the vision of the project to the leadership team, and then we started recruiting potential team members for the avenues, especially the Love Avenue team. We've sent out invitations, and then we met for orientation, and then the process continued on. We would meet regularly, but part of it is just to bring people together, build rapport, and build the relationships, get acquainted and get connected with one another on a regular basis. So that was the grouping stage. The next part was the equipping phase, wherein that was a time when we would equip and provide tools to the potential Avenue team members so that it would help them carry out their respective Avenue callings. You know, we facilitated with the help of other pastors, denominational leaders. We facilitated trainings in team dynamics, temperament survey or personality survey, spiritual gifts. We talked about consensus decision making. We also, you know, other things like understanding the nature and the vocations of the church. And then we had strategic planning. I felt it was important that the Avenue teams, the Love Avenue team and the others would be able to plan on their own. Of course, with the discernment and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And of course, part of it is really getting a good grasp of the vision of LT Church and mm-hmm. the avenues. What do they look like? What do we want to see as a denomination? But at the same time, how do we contextualize that in our unique situations as local churches?
Yes.
And then third phase was, I'd call it the mobilizing stage, wherein we begin to allow the Avenue teams, the Love Avenue particularly, to begin to get their feet wet. Look at our situation, our church. Where do you think God is leading? What do you think Jesus is doing in our community and in our target community? And then what do you think, you know, would be our participation in Jesus' ministry? So it's the third phase is really about helping them get their feet wet and to try it out and to, you know, to do their own strategic planning for the Love Avenue. And I think it wasn't perfect, but I think it was a good it was a good flow progression from where we started. So now they're able to do it. Part of it was to launch them officially in the presence of the congregation, so they're recognized and people can support them. Meanwhile, the Love Avenue can also speak for the avenue, you know, not just me as the pastor, but they can do that and they can give updates and they can invite people and you know, share what's happening, what God is doing in our target community. So basically, those are the, I would call the phases that we went through as a avenue teams.
Thank you for sharing that. I especially appreciate the intentionality of the process for building the Love Avenue team in GCI Crossway, the process of bringing, grouping the team together and allowing them to become a team first. I've even heard of in some churches they'll be like a connect group first, right? Yeah. Of potential Love Avenue team members. So this idea of coming together, yeah, and building that relationship first if they're actually going to function as a team, but then the equipping, because there's some knowledge and skills that they'll need. Yeah. And then they get their feet wet instead of just tossing them over into the deep end and expecting that they know to swim.
Yeah,
that's correct. Good. And then the second thing, Aaron, I love that you did like a commissioning in front of the entire membership so that they're truly empowered. Like you said, that they can give updates. They can communicate directly with membership about what's happening, what God is doing through the Love Avenue. It doesn't all have to filter through you as the pastor of the church. That is huge, team-based, pastor-led ministry that is being expressed in the Love Avenue.
Thank you. Yeah. Praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. And so I'd love to, you spoke a little to this, but I'd love to dig a little bit deeper. How have you helped members discern and develop their giftedness in the Love Avenue ministries?
One of the trainings we did was the spiritual gift survey and then the personality survey. But I think, of course, when you do those surveys, it doesn't necessarily mean automatically that you're going to figure out where do you fit in the body or your niche in the body. But I thought that was helpful to prompt the people to start reflecting and asking God, you know, where are you placing me? Or what are the gifts that you have given me? But I believe what was more important was we invited people from the church, from the congregation, those who have already demonstrated their passion and inclination towards the people outside the church. I thought that was really important that we... because many of them I know personally. I've been the pastor of that congregation for 10 years now or so. And many of them I've been friends with, I've been working with for years, even before I became the pastor of the church. And so I just knew that there were people who are more passionate towards the people outside the church community than the others. And that's what we kind of look for. Same goes for the other Avenue teams, but especially for the Love Avenue. That's, I would say for our congregation, that will be among the three avenues. That's probably the weakest among the three avenues for our congregation. And we admit that. We've done some assessment and we can admit that this is something that you know, we think God was, you know, bringing to our attention. And so I think it was important that we invited people who just naturally they have the passion for the people outside the church. You know, we have people who have experience, you know, for years who have experience in doing outreach events. We have our facilitator for our evangelism training. So she's part of the Avenue team. These people naturally they're confident about, you know, initiating conversations with strangers. They are, you know, they have a friendly disposition. They enjoy meeting new people, and for many of them, I see that they're they're comfortable in their own skin in terms of their Christian faith, that they do not shy away from sharing their faith to the people outside the church community. So for me, that was really important first to gather those people who we think that have those gifts and passion for those people outside the church community. Now, with regards to the new, quote-unquote, the new talents, I learned this also from GCI, that we look for those who have faith, who are faith. We call it faith, faithful, available, teachable, and enthusiastic. Those people who show up, you know, those people who welcome your invitations to, say, for example, a discipleship program or a training or you know, they you invite them to a connect group or to an activity in the church and then they would show up. Those people are to watch out for. Many times, the new, quote-unquote, the new talents, they're still at the stage where they're still discerning their place in the church, in the community. And so that's where the leadership of the church could help them. But one of the things I do is sort of give them an immersion. I begin with what's obvious, what's their interest, what's their skill set, what's their professional background, what do they do at work, or even their church experiences if they come from a different congregation or a different church denomination entirely. But you know, I begin with those obvious things, and then we invite them to, you know, to sort of an immersion, to try it out. Not necessarily to commit for a long-term ministry, but just to try it out. And then just to give that person, the new talents, time to see and experience and try to feel it. Is it meaningful? Do they enjoy it? Does it trigger some passion in their heart in doing that certain ministry? So, yeah. And then at some point, we sit down with them and then we help them debrief and assess, you know, help them reevaluate. And so hopefully that person will continue to, you know, whether to continue with the ministry or maybe they would want to try a different ministry altogether. So, but for the many of our Love Avenue members, many of them have demonstrated such, you know, passion and comfort in going out to the community and, you know, and be with, you know, strangers in a way and to be able to share their faith. So, yeah, for me, that has helped me a lot in bringing, you know, sort of choosing, sort of reflecting who do we bring in to be part of our Love Avenue team.
Thank you. Joshua, is there anything that you would add from a Love Avenue champion perspective?
Yeah, certainly. Just like what Aaron said, enthusiasm, a certain level of enthusiasm is really needed because, you know, you're reaching out to people outside the church. So you need to have a certain level of energy, of, you know, really passion and hope and looking forward to what you can do and what you can give to the community. Heart for others as well, definitely important. We can see that actually most displayed in our person of peace. She's the one really rallying us to commit and develop relationships with our target community. So it's really, really important. Friendliness as well is very important because, you know, these persons are not members of the church. They're technically strangers. So we need as members of the Love Avenue team to be really friendly, know how to communicate, know how to build relationships. You need patience because you would work with other people and we seldom have the same methods of doing, for example, doing activities like schedules, etc. So you really need to work it out with the target community. Humility is very important. It means we're teachable, and we really put our heart into the target community, getting to know them deeply, not just superficial, but really know them, who they are, their needs. So humility is very important. And then for the new talents, we invite them and include them in the programs of the Love Avenue team. So if we see members, potential Avenue team members, then we invite them. Maybe you can join or come with us, join in our activities with the community. Then there we would know if that church member is a good fit to the Love Avenue team. So yeah, I think that's all.
Thank you. That's fantastic. I think those are incredible things that you're looking out for, that are gifts that may make a person compatible in the Love Avenue. And particularly what I want to highlight is that you're helping to identify, you know, what might make somebody a good fit for ministering within the Love Avenue. And as you do that, there's a continued openness to who else may God be bringing to participate in the Love Avenue ministries. So this idea of, you know, maybe he's continuing to bring people or developing these gifts, that there can be, you know, these like new talents, right, in the Love Avenue, and that they can be invited to participate and try it out for a little while and see if that is what God is doing in and through them without making a lifelong commitment, right? I think that that's an incredible way to be apprenticing within our avenue, to be continuing to support what God is doing in and through his people, and finding how is God inviting people to participate in each avenue. But today we're speaking about the Love Avenue in particular, right? So that we're always expanding how the Love Avenue ministries are working and who is participating in it in the life of the church. That's fantastic. And so within the Love Avenue team, what processes are you using or have you used to discern what particular roles people serve on the team?
Just like what was mentioned earlier about the equipping part of the Avenue teams. So again, the spiritual gift survey, it was really, really helpful because you would get to appreciate and own the gifts that God has given us individually. So we would know where we can actually contribute, because there are certain things that we are good at. There are certain things that we're not that good at. So we know where we can be placed that can really get all our potential. And so that's very important. Self-awareness tools like the five voices. I really, when I hear team members in the Love Avenue, they really appreciate these kinds of self-awareness tools. Even the older generation, they appreciate it. It's like they're thinking, it would have been nice if we knew these things earlier. We could have really ministered. But, you know, it's all about God's timing, I think. This is the perfect time he allowed these equippings to be done, so that we would really appreciate the blessings that it provides. So, and then team dynamics, building relationships, leading to knowing each other's strengths. But again, overall, it's about the person's giftedness and their best fit. And then also, to discern what roles, it's based on the target community and its needs. So for Crossway, we chose a school. So based on the needs of the school. For example, during the pandemic, there were a lot of frontliners, some of the teachers still go to the school, so their needs were alcohol, mm-hmm. Face masks, those things that are really needed. So in the Love Avenue team, we know one member who came from the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it was obvious who we can ask help to.
Mm-hmm.
So their roles, you know, was by default, okay, we ask help on this person because she knows more than the other members.
Right.
So it's really based on the needs.
Right.
And then people become familiar with their own abilities, skills, and inclinations. The networks, for example, one member of the church is good at finances, and the Love Avenue team, it just so happens she's a member of the Love Avenue team. So again, obviously, when we need wisdom financially, we go and ask help to that Avenue team member. And then roles, wherein this comes in, the role in the church extends to the Love Avenue team. So people in the church, their roles there, those that best fit the Love Avenue team needs, we put people there. So, and then again, we practice consensus decision making. So those things. It really helps.
That's good. Aaron, anything that you want to add to that?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Josh, because he's part of the Love Avenue team. I get to see it from a bird's eye view, but Josh gets to see it from where the action is. But yeah, I agree. It's something that we are learning to practice. It's something that I believe in, that you know, God has granted us giftedness by His grace in the Spirit, and our role is to, you know, discern where God is placing us, what doors God is opening, and where is He leading. And I believe we all have a place in the body, and so even in a ministry setting like the Love Avenue, that's still a good practice to find our niche, our best fit. So. But at the same time, we're open for people to try it out. I think that's also important, that we allow people to try it out, and even for, you know, to invite others to experience it, even just for a little bit, and then they can decide if that's something they want to be part of for a more regular basis. But yeah, we wish that the more and more people will see the Love Avenue as an opportunity, to an exciting opportunity. To see what God is in our community. So, yeah. And again, a lot of times also is really what God is opening, the doors that God is opening from the side of the community. I mean, you know, that's what Love Avenue is. Part of it is you know, discerning what do they have? What are they doing? And how else can we participate in their events, in their programs? And Joshua mentioned that we would, every now and then we would, donate alcohol, because it's a necessity now, even for the school. And there's also an event that we do once a month where we give inspirational talk to the student council of that high school. And what's interesting is that it's their program. It's not our program. It's their program of their student council. And because of the established relationship, they would invite us. In fact, they did. And they've given us that for I think they do it once a month, every Saturday morning for about 2 hours. But the inspirational talk would go for 15 minutes or 30 or so. So it's just part of the program. But they have opened that spot for us. And because we're dealing with young people, our default is to bring in those our leaders who know how to interact and communicate with the young people. And so many of our speakers from the church are, you know, they have experience in youth ministry. They have been SEP camp counselors. So because that's their, you know, that's their giftedness. That's what they're comfortable with. That's what, that's part of their competence. And true enough, you know, the students enjoy it. In fact, they started out their first meeting. I think there were about like 50 who attended. But then they liked the inspirational talk and they began to open it outside the student council to the club members, the committee heads of the clubs in the school, just so they could hear the quote-unquote inspirational talk. But part of it is really bringing, seeing what the doors that God is opening and discerning how best we can respond to those needs and to those opportunities. Mm. So, yeah, so it's amazing. They've been doing it for, I think, 5 months now, and we've been part of it for basically the same time. And it's not something we created. And again, this is where we affirm that it's really Jesus' ministry. And,
yes.
And God opened that door, and you know, God brought it to our attention, and we started thinking, okay, who do we send? The best people we can send, because we want to love them in the best way we can, you know, we can. And it's been fun. I mean, and the thing is, we were able to include those people outside the Love Avenue team, because mm-hmm. their role is to speak. They don't have to be part of the Love Avenue team, but to share inspirational messages that are biblically based. So that's our approach. So then again, we're bringing, you know, the best people that we can send, because it's our expression of loving them to, you know, the best way we can.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And first, we are a global church, an international church. So for our international listeners, so that there's no misunderstanding, I want to clarify that by alcohol, you all mean sanitizing alcohol.
Yes.
For sanitation purposes, just so that there is no confusion.
Yeah.
But second, you both, Joshua and Aaron, have named two things that I really want our listeners to hear, that in the discernment process for what roles people are serving, mm-hmm. you've said two things. You're looking for best fit in terms of how God has gifted the people in the church community, right. What God is doing in and through them, and what is actually happening in your neighborhood. What are the needs?
Yeah.
And so one size does not fit all. This is mm-hmm. not a forced fit. It's not doing things just based on, well, you know, we have this template that we really need to just fill out. As you said earlier, yeah. Aaron, this is the Love Avenue. We have best practices. And these best practices are contextualized. So
yep.
the mm-hmm. roles of a Love Avenue in one neighborhood may be different than what the roles end up being in another neighborhood. The
yes.
gifting of the Love Avenue team members in one neighborhood may create different roles than the giftings
right.
of the Love Avenue team in another neighborhood. And
right.
I think that that is so key that you two have touched on that, because it's about discerning what God is doing in your midst,
amen.
In your context, and participating in that. And to match those two things, what are the gifts that God has brought into our midst, and what are the needs in the community? What is God doing in our neighborhood, and how can we match those two up, bring the best people, right,
yeah.
to participate in what God is already doing in our neighborhood? That is incredible.
Yeah.
So thank you. I just wanted to highlight because our listeners, man, don't miss that. Don't miss what they just said, listeners.
Yeah, it's what we've been learning is that it's really Jesus' ministry. And our goal is to sense where God is leading us. What is Jesus doing in that target community? What are the doors that he's opening for us? Because we started out with, you know, I think the Love Avenue team, if they're listening, they would recognize that there was a time when we started coming up with programs and plans for the target community. And the person of peace, who's basically the principal of that school, who happens to be part of our leadership team and part of our Love Avenue team, she was the one who's filtering those programs, saying, oh, okay, no, it's not going to work. No, this one, the government does that. No, they've done, they've had a lot of these programs already. Nice. It was through her that was that God was sort of giving us those cues. Not this one, but this one. No, we're not going to do, we cannot do that right now, but this is their program right now. Maybe we can participate. So we had to learn to just, you know, be, to have that dependent, you know, stance, dependent on what God is doing, where the Holy Spirit is leading. And so that's the amazing thing that we're learning. And now it's, there's more matching to what's happening in the community, what they are doing, what are their needs. And then we kind of, you know, we kind of group ourselves together again. And then, okay, what can we do? How can we respond to this in the most appropriate way? And who do we send, you know, so that we can love them in the best possible way? So that's one big learning for us as a lobby. We could not impose our programs. Because it was, you know, based on what we are hearing from the community, it was more like what the community is doing, and we were just riding along with their programs. And true enough, it has brought us to a deeper, you know, appreciation from both sides, you know, us and them, and them towards us, and the relationships have been established. So for us, that's a big thing to praise God for. Now the school recognizes us, and we're able to embrace them as part of our, you know, extended family, if I may say it that way.
Amen. And so really, every Love Avenue team is going to look a little bit different. Yes. And so I'd love for you all to describe the rhythms of your Love Avenue team in GCI Crossway, or GCI Crossway, in terms of what are the rhythms of fellowship, communication, meeting and planning, recruitment, mentorship, training, kind of all of those pieces. What are the rhythms that you've established as a team?
Regular meetings, weekly regular meetings. That's very important to get updated with what's happening in the school. In terms of communication, we have our own social media group chats. There's one group chat for all the Avenue teams, and there's one group chat dedicated only to the Love Avenue team. So after our meetings, our Zoom meetings, then all throughout the week, we can still further discuss in the group chat. So that's very important for us. So that even, for example, for me, I'm in the US, I can still work with the team members in Manila. So that's very important. And then Avenue presentations to the congregation. We do that. We update the congregation, Crossway, what's happening with the Love Avenue, what are the current activities, the past activities, so that the church itself is updated. And then with regards to planning, it all comes from our person of peace. Again, what Aaron said, who is the principal and at the same time member of the Love Avenue team. So she gives us inputs on the school's events, calendar events, and where we can join and how we can support. So the team really, in a way, depend partly on her, her updates, on her feedback. This is what's happening in the school. Or this coming month, there will be this event and this event. So, and then the whole Love Avenue team will, oh, okay, so we have this event. So we ask the person of peace, do they need any assistance from us? Is there any way we can help? So in terms of planning, we depend on the person of peace. That's why the person of peace is very important when right. it comes to the Love Avenue team. And Aaron, you can add.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh. Josh explained it well, especially what happens on a weekly basis. I think it helped us to set a regular meeting for the Avenue teams. That includes the Love Avenue team. And sometimes there are times when, you know, we don't have enough numbers and then we would cancel or postpone the meetings, and that's fine. But I think it helps that each member of the team can expect that, okay, on the weekend, we're going to have a meeting. So that's part of our rhythm now. That's part of our routine now. Again, there are times when we have to cancel the meetings, but it helps that the teams anticipate that we're going to meet on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, it's a lot of times it's a planning meeting, but, you know, in our group, our meetings can become both, you know, productive, but at the same time, a time for fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
When we started out, I mean, compared to where we are now, the relationships have deepened and we're able to get to know each other. We're able to encourage one another, uplift one another, but even just extend grace to one another. There are times when we kind of poke on each other and test each other's patience. And so we're learning to extend grace and to work together in the midst of, you know, our imperfections and the team's imperfections. So, yeah. Part of the rhythm also would be the trainings and equipping. Before we launched the Avenue team, we went through the preparation of grouping them, equipping them, and mobilizing them. But still, you know, our you know, part of our Christian journey is to journey with the Lord for, you know, every day and for the rest of our lives. So even the learning is part of our rhythm. So every now and then we would insert that in our schedule so that we would, you know, continue to gain more awareness of who God is and even the tools that we need so that we can be more effective in our participation with Jesus in his ministry. Mentoring, you mentioned mentoring and recruitment. As a pastor, I practice what we call the apprenticeship square. That has helped me in terms of coaching the teams. For example, that's what I've been doing now with our champions, Avenue champions. So I slowly give them more and more hands-on participation so that I can slowly step back and allow them to sort of take over and empower them. So that's part of what I'm trying to do. We started out with myself and a few denominational leaders explaining what the Healthy Church vision is and, you know, healthy leadership and healthy avenues. And part of the agreement was we're going to learn this together so that at some point when we launch the Avenue teams, the Avenue teams would be the ones to cascade the vision to the church. And that's what they did. The Love Avenue, that's what they did. They were the ones, you know, as part of launching them, they were the ones who cascaded. What is the healthy church vision? And the Avenues, what would it look like in our local church, in our context? So that's part of allowing them to slowly gain more participation, so that they are empowered. And for me as a pastor, there's less and less of me being hands-on, but allowing them and trusting them to be able to carry out, you know, their ministry callings as avenues. So yeah, that's part of our rhythm. So yeah, every now and then we include, you know, sort of tools, leadership tools, or even theological insights, so that we continue to grow and develop as ministry people and even as teams.
Thank you for sharing those rhythms. And, you know, as we just discussed, every Love Avenue team is going to be a little bit different depending on the context, but right. The development of these kind of rhythms, you know, as you said, it keeps the team dynamic. It keeps the team growing. It continues to build momentum and growth towards healthy church and healthy ministry and healthy leadership. And so that's important to continue to think about and share. What are the rhythms? And be intentional about the rhythms that are developing. So thank you for sharing those with us today. And you spoke a little bit to this, Aaron, but I want to ask even more specifically, what difference has team-based pastor-led ministry made for the Love Avenue Ministries?
Maybe Josh can answer that later on, but I can begin. I love the idea that we have become less pastor-centric.
Mm.
I'm a full-time pastor, and there are times when people have this sort of paradigm that the pastor is supposed to do everything. But because of the Love Avenue and, of course, the other teams, it's such a big, significant evidence that we have grown to become, you know, less of a pastor-centric, and there's more empowerment and trusting the people to participate with Jesus in what he is doing. So imagine, you know, three Avenue meetings happening at the same time, because we would meet on Sunday evenings, and imagine three simultaneous Avenue meetings going on. I wouldn't be able to supervise or even, you know, facilitate those meetings. So it was part of the idea that we will really have to, you know, help them. That's why there's equipping stage. There's that equipping phase so that they would be able to carry out their respective callings. In fact, Love Avenue is personally among the three avenues, that would be where I am personally would say the weakest. I'm strong with Faith Avenue, and after that maybe the Hope Avenue, but Love Avenue, it's probably where I am weakest. But I am just so happy that we have a group of people that are, you know, maybe you can say that are more gifted when it comes to Love Avenue. They're more comfortable in going out to the community and talking to strangers, engaging people that they barely knew. So I am grateful for that we are able to celebrate and provide platforms for those people that are gifted with specific gifts in those specific roles and ministries in the church. So for me, that's one of the biggest gains for me. I have more time now to focus on other things. Not that I don't want to do it. You know, I'm still involved in the Love Avenue, but you know, I get to focus more on the things that I will have to do as a pastor.
Mm.
So I am able to become more strategic with my time and the tasks that I'm going to do. It positions me as well to focus on the champions, to work with them more closely and to help them grow in their leadership as well, so that they can effectively lead their respective teams. So Joshua, he knows this. We meet together with the other champions. We do that as well. But yeah, as a pastor, I'm happy with the fact that we have more people invited to the table and have ownership in the vision of the church. Many of the Love Avenue members have been faithful in the church, and they've been, you can say, active members in the church. But with the Love Avenue team, they have a bigger role now. They share in the discussions, they share in the decision making, and they provide wonderful insights. So for me, that's a big, it's a highlight for me that there's more people invited to the table and have ownership of the vision of the church. So yeah, for me personally, that's what I would say, such a the biggest difference. And I'm happy that we were able to, you know, by the grace of God, we're able to find these people and group them together and carry out the vision of the Love Avenue, the calling of the Love Avenue. And they're doing it on behalf of the church, but at the same time, inviting others to participate. So, yeah. Josh, how about you from your end? What would be, what could you say the difference that the love avenue made?
Yeah, this, your question, Carla, is really very nice for me personally. It's a life-changing difference. Knowing that I've been in the church for a long time as well. I was part of the system wherein mostly we depend on Aaron's leading or the agenda that he set, and then we follow, we put inputs. But now with in regards to when we transition to team-based pastor-led ministry, it has really opened up so many. It's just like the potential of the church was unleashed. Because members are empowered. Almost everyone are, you know, empowered to speak up, to contribute. All their thoughts, their inputs are important. We try to squeeze out ideas, suggestions from everyone. That's why the discussions become really, really productive. Okay, we get to better hear all inputs. Again, in the consensus decision making, the team is empowered. The team members have become more hands-on in participation. For example, in the previous outreach efforts, before the Love Avenue team was established, only those directly involved with the community have the say. If they decided an activity, then the members will just follow. Okay, we need to do this for the community, then okay. But for now, with the Love Avenue team, when it was, after it has been established, people are, we can participate. We decide as a team. And it has helped in the discussions and even in the smooth execution of plans, because everyone is in one accord of what to do. So it really has helped to establish programs, to make it from start to finish, it's much more smoother and faster because everyone is on the same page. So it's really good. It's very important not to really practice this team-based pastor-led system.
Thank you. Thank you both for sharing. That idea of increased participation and ownership and unleashing the potential in the church. That's just beautiful to hear you both describe that. And so are there any additional challenges or blessings of building a Love Avenue team that either of you would like to share today?
Yeah, maybe looking back, part of the challenge was, just because we're not used to working together, the teams, the Love Avenue particularly, and everyone else really, that we just didn't know how to navigate when it comes to team dynamics. There's not much self-awareness. So it's not really a challenge, but it was important for us to learn how to navigate, you know, the different personalities, the different voices, the different, inclinations of each member of the Love Avenue team. So that's part of the challenge. So, and every now and then, that kind of comes up every now and then where there are misunderstandings. So that's part of the reality of being in a team. Those things happen too. Just, misunderstandings and not able to see eye to eye. At the same time, we part of the struggle was to keep the momentum, especially at the start. I thought that was really important as well. If we're going to engage in pursuing the vision of a healthy church, that we would build the momentum by being able to meet regularly and keep a certain pace with flexibility, of course. But we wanted to build the momentum. But of course, initially that's something that we needed to watch out for. So, but I'll go back to the first thing I mentioned, that's just part of reality when you are in a team setting, where there are times when you don't see eye to eye and there are misunderstandings. So, but the bigger issue, how do you deal with it? How do you, you know, get over that hump and in love and in with grace to one another? But the blessing, you know, we can say, how do we say usually that the blessings outweigh the challenges, because with the love avenue, I've been wanting to recognize our church in Surrey Hills. They've been instrumental by providing trainings for us. Pastor Mike spent some time even with CJ in helping us understand the love avenue and what is it for, what does it look like. But with what happened, one blessing was that it really defined for us clearly the, you know, sort of the vision and the strategy in the love avenue, where we get to focus our love and our resources and our efforts to a certain community. So for me, that's one. It for the love avenue in terms of reaching out to the community, it became clear what we want to see happen, and we're able to sort of unify our efforts towards that community. We were able to define our target community, and that was part of the consensus decision making. It wasn't decided by me. It wasn't decided by a couple of people. So we're able to agree on the target community, the community that we think God is leading us to. And that was part of the dialogue. So now it's clear, even to the congregation, not everybody is literally part of the efforts at the moment, especially with the pandemic, but it's clear for everybody who is our target community that we think God has given us to love and to focus on our efforts on. So that's one blessing as well. We have defined our target community, and it's owned by the church. In the midst of the pandemic, it's amazing that we were able to express our love towards that community. For me, that's a big blessing as well. And that's part of the decision-making to choose this target community, because in the Philippines, in our setting, it's the government is more strict when it comes to being able to go out. And because it was pandemic and we set up the Love Avenue during the pandemic, wherein we couldn't really go out. And so, you know, part of the discussion, we believe that God led us to that decision, is this school where we have a person of peace and they already operate in an online format, because schools here now operate online. Online classes are being held. So yeah, that was part of the factor in deciding to focus our attention towards this community. And, you know, part of the blessing as well is over, you know, after several months, there's that, you know, we know that the community has welcomed us. They appreciate our presence. They appreciate our, you know, what we're able to offer them. So there's organic growth in the relationship with the target community. So they're able to get to know us more personally. So that's one blessing as well. It has built a deeper relationship among the teams as well. I mean, again, it's not a perfect team. You know, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. But to the rhythms of meeting and interactions and learning together, going through some trainings together, you know, we're learning to embrace one another. in the midst of our, you know, strengths and even our weaknesses. So I can feel that. I can feel that in the Love Avenue team. So again, you know, there are challenges, but the blessings just outweigh the challenges.
Amen. Joshua, any challenges and blessings that you'd like to speak to?
Maybe for me, blessings. For example, as I mentioned earlier, we do parallel with what is happening with the school, and even the local holidays of the country, or even, you know, worldwide. For example, Father's Day, Mother's Day, National Teachers Appreciation Day. That's a blessing that, you know, as a church, we can minister and bless the target community. For example, the last Teacher's Day, we were able to just give them a token of appreciation. We gave them mugs. So, you know, if they like coffee or something, they have, when there's a print there to appreciate the teachers. So they really like that. And then we gave cakes during the Mother's Day. So it's really just a wonderful experience, a blessing actually, wherein we can participate in what Jesus is doing. Actually, because now in the pandemic, we know mostly, at least for Crossway, were online. So even the we can bless the community with, you know, with our financial blessings. Mm-hmm. We can bless them actually. Mm-hmm. So that's truly one of the things wherein the Love Avenue are blessed by making them, the community, happy, that some of their needs are met. So that's really good.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. And as we begin to wrap up our conversation for today, what final encouragements or pieces of advice do you have for our listeners who are beginning to build their Love Avenue teams?
For those who are starting to build their Love Avenue teams, it will be worth it, because you can develop wonderful relationships with the people in your target community. From being strangers to close friends, you can do that. And then there is a deep fulfillment in making a difference in people's lives. To hear people from the target community who benefited from the church love effort that addressed a certain need. And then they would say, we remember one of our, in one of the events that we participated, one of the person in the community said that I needed that. So it means maybe he heard something, or in the message, or in the sharing, in the testimony, that he needed in that certain time of his life, and it came from the church. So again, it's really wonderful to be part of the Love Avenue team. So it takes time, it takes effort, it takes commitment. But when you see the faces of the target community, they're happy, they're blessed, their faces shine because you have imparted to them the gospel, it's really worth it. Aaron?
Yeah, thank you, Josh. There are times when you would really hear the responses of the people from the target community, and you would know authentically that they are grateful and that the church is able to make a difference in their lives. So yeah, but to add, I would say maybe an encouragement would be, you know, when we help our church build our Love Avenue team, that we would be able to participate more in Jesus' ministry in loving our neighbors and hopefully drawing them to Christ. Jesus is already there. He is the one loving our neighbors, our community. But Jesus is inviting us to participate. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful idea. And, you know, the other thing is maybe even for me personally, part of the breakthrough for me in our Love in You team as well, even as a church, as we studied and you know, became more familiar with the Love Avenue and its purposes and its calling, there's more emphasis now in loving the neighbor. We want our community, the people in the community, to get to know Jesus and maybe experience the life of the Triune God in the church. Of course, that will continue to be our prayer. But just the same, we've learned not to gauge our, you know, quote unquote success based on, you know, primarily based on the numbers of the people coming into the church and all that. Our primary role is to participate in loving our neighbors. So that has become our main gauge. Are we loving our neighbors the way Jesus does? So that has been our, you know, what prompts us in doing it. We continue to pray that people will get to know Jesus and experience the life of the Triune God in the church. But whether that happens or not, our calling is to love them and to participate in what God is doing in loving our neighbors. So I guess lastly would be, you know, for me and maybe to the churches or even pastors hearing this, that the process will take time. I think it's better that way, that it's going to be slow and steady. So the process will take time in developing the Love Avenue team in the church, but it will definitely be worth it. I can say it personally, and I can see the difference it made in our church, in our leadership team, in the group of our ministry workers and leaders. So I can say that personally. It will take time developing the Love Avenue team, but it will definitely be worth it.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you both so much for sharing these incredible insights. But we're not finished yet. I have a few fun questions for you all. And no pressure, just say whatever comes to mind first.
Okay.
This first question, we'll go ahead, Aaron, you can answer this one first, but all these questions will be for both of you.
Okay.
What book or movie have you read or seen recently that you would recommend and why?
Oh, man. that's difficult because I've been studying under Dr. Gary's class. And I'm not sure. No, just kidding. Lately, I'm not sure if I can recommend this, but on Netflix, I watched this series on World War II. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it's something I've watched recently, and I thought it was helpful for me to learn on what was happening around that time, the events of the World War II, and that includes the Pacific War. So. It connected with me personally because we're here. But I've learned so much when it comes to the mindset of the worlds then, the world leaders then, and, you know, what people suffered and those, all those things. So, yeah, but it was helpful just to have a picture of the world that time, the mindset of the people, and to learn from those events, to learn from that, you could say, era in our
Yes. Joshua, what about you?
Recently, I'm reading Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Wow.
it's been nice. What it says is an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones, which I have many bad ones. Mm-hmm. So it's really very helpful for me. It's really good. It gives you practical advice to really build good habits, and you know, the bad habits that we do, we stop doing them. It's really the little changes. Well, one example he has here is, for example, you fly from LA going to, for example, Florida. When the plane takes off at LA and just slightly change its flight path for just like 3 degrees, you will not land in Florida. You will land somewhere else.
Oh.
That's how powerful little habits are. So It's really been a blessing, at least for me, personal development. So yeah, I can recommend it.
Nice. All right, this next question. What food do you always bring to a church dinner?
Church dinner, okay. I don't cook, so I like, you know, buying deliveries. Maybe pizza or pasta. Those are easiest for me. I just call the delivery and bring it to you, bring it to the event. So
yes. Same.
I don't cook, and I wouldn't bring anything that I cooked to the church. I don't think it's gonna be wise. So, yeah.
Joshua, what about you?
Maybe it's been a while since, like, the last time we always have, that's what's also good in Crossway, we have fellowship after the service eating. But when times like that, I'm always assigned to bring the drinks. So we take care of the drinks, juice or, you know, soda or something else.
Nice. We're all on the same wavelength then. All right. If you could live anywhere in the world for a year, where would it be?
For a year? Okay.
Yeah, just 1 year.
Probably somewhere there in the U.S. My sister lives there. Hi to my sister. She's in New Jersey. And so every time me and my wife would have a conversation, because we love to travel, and every time she would ask me, where do you want to go next? And my default answer is, I don't mind going elsewhere, but my default is to visit my sister. She's been there for decades now, and we only get to see her rarely. So yeah, that would be my answer.
For me, I think Japan. I just personally are fun. I'm fond of their culture, their way of living, their history. So I would certainly love to, you know, stay there for a year.
Okay, nice. And final question. If you could have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's a hard part.
It's hard.
I know, coffee? I stumped you both. Goldfish?
No, coffee. Okay.
Coffee. Oh, coffee. I thought you said goldfish. Coffee, that's a good one.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I would like, but I would probably say, for me, I would probably say fried chicken, whether
okay.
Never gets old. I mean, you get tired of fried chicken for a day or two, and then, you know, you'll get some again after, so. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I can try, you know, Asian fried chicken, southern states in the US, or, you know, New York or whatever, with whichever, you know, kind of, you know, dish regards to chicken, I'm good with that.
Oh, that's true. There is different kinds of fried chicken too, so you get variety.
Yeah.
I like it. Coffee and fried chicken.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for taking your time to join us on the GC Podcast today. It is our practice with GC Podcast to end our show with a word of prayer. And so, Joshua, would you be willing to pray for our listeners, our churches, pastors, and ministry leaders in GCI?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for Kara, Pastor Aaron, and me. Thank you for the team who will put this together. We just praise you and we give you thanks for the love that you have showered us. Lord, we our prayer is that we would be filled with your love first and foremost, that it would overflow in our lives, Lord, that we personally experience your deep love for us, so that as we see our neighbors, as we see other people, Lord, we can extend that love towards them. And we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with leaders who are faithful to you in teaching and equipping us, Lord. We thank you for this podcast, that we lift this up to you, that many people would be blessed. And we just are honored, Lord, that you would grant us the grace, use us, Lord, imperfect as we are, Lord, but because you are perfect, it is your work, it is your ministry, Lord, you enable and you equip us, all the needs that we have, Lord, you provide, so that we can make blessing and difference in the world. So we just thank you and we praise you and we give you thanks for your wisdom, your provisions, your guidance, Lord, in not just in the Love Avenue team, but in the faith, in the Hope Avenue team. And we pray, Lord, that every church will become healthy, Lord, and that's not our desire, that's your desire, Lord. So we just thank you that you invite us to join in your kingdom. So we just thank you. We thank you for all the listeners, Lord. We bless their heart. And we thank you so much for your grace. All of these things, Father God, we ask and we pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Aaron and Joshua shared a lot of meaningful insights with us. One thing that especially stood out to me was the practice of creating space for people to just explore different areas of ministry, to try it out, to see what it's like to participate in that area of ministry without a lifelong commitment, and to do that as a process of discerning God's gifting and calling in ministry. What stood out to you from what they had to share?
You know, I really appreciated their emphasis on discernment, not only in understanding your gifts, but also in recognizing and seeking to meet the needs of the community. I think, you know, as they mentioned, by centering the discernment of people's gifting as they engage in ministry, but also recognizing community needs, that's a really meaningful and important way to shape the expressions of the Love Avenue.
Yes, absolutely. That key piece of discernment is so important in the Love Avenue. And then another piece that's important in building out the Avenue teams is engaging emergent leaders. And as a young adult leader in GCI, what advice or encouragement would you share with our ministry leaders as they engage young emergent leaders on their Love Avenue teams?
I think communication not only relates to the development of those strong collaborative teams, but also engaging young leaders in the ministry of the church. So in a sense, creating space for individuals to fully participate, from seeing their voice shape the direction of new efforts, or receiving encouragement and guidance. I think that really allows for the expression of everyone's gifts. And when each of us has an opportunity to leverage our insights and our energy and being a part of the community, that's how you create really powerful and authentic expressions of love.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. This episode, you know, it really got me thinking about the Love Avenue. And so, you know, for those of us who are wondering where we can go to learn more, how can we learn more about the Love Avenue, Christiana?
If you'd like to learn more about the Love Avenue, visit resources.gci.org/love to explore the GCI Love Avenue resources and the Love Avenue toolkit.
Well, friends, thank you so much for listening to the GC podcast. If you like what you heard, go ahead and give us a rating wherever you listen to the podcast. It helps us get the word out and invite others to join in on the conversation. But until next time, keep on living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.